Okay.
So welcome everyone for the September Board of Directors meeting for Aspira. And at this time, let me call the meeting to order. So can I have a motion to enter the executive session?
Motion to enter the executive session, Diaz.
Thank you, Liz. Do I have a second?
I second, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Excellent. We're going to go to the executive session.
Okay, we're back live.
So thank you for the board meeting in September. Can we have a vote to bring the session back to the public session?
Motion to return to public session, Diaz.
Thank you, Liz. Do we have a second?
Second, Terranova Fessel.
Thank you, Marisa. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So at this point, we'll welcome any individual interested in participating at the monthly meeting of Las Americas Aspira Academy Board of Directors is now open to the public. In particular, parents and guardians of students that are actively encouraged to attend and observe board discussions and if so inclined to publicly comment on school-related matters at the start of each meeting. The board has a keen interest in hearing from the community to help make our fine school even better and stronger for students. With the opportunity to speak publicly comes the obligation to comply with certain ground rules, which are highlighted here and addressed in more detail on the board of directors page on the, of the school website. Remarks must be limited to 3 minutes and cannot include personal attacks on any individual, nor the use of inappropriate language. Anyone choosing to speak also acknowledges and agrees to having their comments included in audio recording of meetings that will be made and posted on the school's website as required by Delaware law. Speakers are asked to provide their name, city or town of residence, and subject of their remarks on a sign-in sheet that will be provided. Written statements or letters will be accepted by the board only after being read into the record within the allotted time. The public comment period is an opportunity for people invested in the success of the school to exercise their voice. Board members appreciate this is a valuable and important opportunity to listen respectfully and become better informed by public input rather than engaging in a lengthy question and answer session or providing instant solutions to issues raised. Consistent with the board's strong desire for expanded, more meaningful parent or guardian engagement and high regard for transparency, we members are grateful for all constructive advocacy efforts that promote open and honest public dialogue. So at this point, we welcome comments from the public. So please identify yourselves and follow what we share with you. And welcome.
Mr. Maxwell, I believe this is your chance to address the board if you'd so want to.
Yeah, good evening, board members and officials. My name is Dave Maxwell. I have two kids in the school. Caroline, she's in seventh grade. And this is her fourth year, I think, in the school. And then Nolan, who's in third grade, and his third year in the school, I believe. So thank you for the opportunity to come and speak today. I want to discuss the transportation and the current state of the transportation here. And let me start off by saying I've had email correspondence with Ernie and phone conversations with Eli, and they're both great. And of course, as you stated, I'm not here to put anyone down or anything. They do a great job, and I know all of you do. I'm just concerned with the way the buses are being appropriated, right? And the routes that they're being, that they're utilizing, right? So for example, my daughter, Caroline, 12-year-old girl, right? The bus stop is 2.5 miles. The closest bus stop is 2.5 miles from my house. And she gets on the bus at 6:20 in the morning. And I'm sure most of you have or had kids. There's no world in which I would allow a 12-year-old girl to walk in the dark at 6:20 in the morning, 2.5 miles up a main road to get to her bus stop. And the main road being Old Baltimore Pike in this case, where there's no sidewalk, right? So she'd be walking in the shoulder to get to her bus stop. And then my son, Nolan, and they both ride bus A9, which the bus driver is amazing, by the way. Nothing but positive things to say in that regard. And then my son, Nolan, is on the bus in the evening. You guys dismiss approximately 3:45-ish, right? He doesn't get off the bus until 5:15. That's 90 minutes. And you know, I coach Little League. I'm on the board at Newark National there. And, you know, I'm telling my fellow coaches, you know, my son's on the bus for 90 minutes. They're like, wow. When you do the math on that, that's almost an entire school day per week spent on the bus in the afternoon for my son. And then it becomes a safety concern, right? You don't want kids on the bus prolonged periods. You don't want the buses out there prolonged periods. And I understand that we have a shortage for transportation. So I want to make sure, number one, that funds are being appropriated in the right manner for you guys, right? Is the funding going to you guys in the appropriate way it should, especially with living in the Christina School District? And I've also engaged two senators in the district, Brian Townsend, who lives across the street from me, actually, which is convenient and nice to have. And also Medina Wilson, who I've been in contact with her office as well. I just, like I said, I want to make sure you guys are getting the appropriate funds that you should for transportation. Like I said, I know there's a shortage out there, and I think I'm about at my 3 minutes here. So feel free to throw something at me virtually here if I'm going over. But I want to make sure that, obviously I want my kids taken care of, but if it's my kids that are affected, there's other kids affected too. So I just want to make sure I'm advocating for all the students out there and all the parents out there that don't have the ability to get on these meetings and voice their and have their voice heard. So thank you all. I am around to assist in any manner I can and help out in any way possible to make this a better situation for all the kids.
Thank you very much, Mr. Maxwell. We hear you and appreciate your time for us today. Thank you. So we have a couple of votes pending, correct? So for the board at this point, we need to decide on the inclusion of Ruth Miranda as part of the board of directors. Let me go there first. Do I have a vote? Let's have a motion for vote. Do I have a motion?
Gedmina, before we do that, we need to vote on the meeting agenda and the meeting minutes.
That is correct. Thank you. That is true. My apologies. So we need to approve the minutes from the last meeting. Let's go first there and approve the meeting minutes. Once you take a look, I would need a motion to approve that. There you go. Those were the minutes. Do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Thank you, Marisa. Do we have a second?
Second, Diaz.
Thank you, Liz. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Okay, those are approved. Any other pendings that I'm missing, Alberto? My apologies.
Just the agenda for today.
And then we have a vote to approve the agenda for today.
Motion to approve, Diaz.
Thank you, Liz. Do we have a second?
I second, Redknapp, Robert.
Thank you, Rob. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Okay, motion carries. Thank you. And once we completed that, then I'm going to have the support of the board to approve the two discussion items we had. One is bringing the board to the board to Ruth Miranda. Do we have a motion for that?
Motion to vote on Ruth Miranda, Diaz.
Thank you, Liz. Do we have a second?
Second, Terranova Fissel.
Thank you, Marisa. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. We'll notify Ruth at an appropriate time. Now, when it comes to the proposal of having Liz Diaz as vice chair for Aspira Academy. Do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve, Jeff Lawrence.
Thank you, Jeff. Do we have a second?
A second, it's Rob.
Thank you, Rob. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 The motion carries. Marisa, congratulations. Marisa. Liz, congratulations. I've seen Marisa next to your name. But congratulations, Liz.
Thank you very much.
For making that commitment. We appreciate your help, Liz, very much.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be a part of that team.
Thank you. All right, next on the agenda is a board spotlight. And I don't know if Margie or Greg is going to do the honors and welcome Merton Pajibo.
Thank you.
Margie, do you want me to introduce or? Well, I will take the honors here. Everyone, this is Merton. I hope I don't butcher this last name. I apologize.
It's okay.
Help me out here.
Pajibo.
Pajibo, yes.
Yes.
And let me ask you, do you want me to share the PowerPoint or do you want to share it and control it? How do you want to?
No, I can share it. It's fine. I can go through it.
I uploaded his presentation and board on track, Greg. I'm sorry, I had to step away for a second.
That's okay. Merton, you can share. That way you can control.
Okay. Let me see.
Good to see you, Merton.
All right, thank you. It's good to see you too. Let's see. Here it is. Can you all see this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we can see that. Thank you.
All right, yes. So let me completely give me a few minutes here. Okay. All right, well, thank you all very much. It is a pleasure to join you on this.
Hold on, Merton. I'm sorry. It's sort of off center.
It is? Okay.
Yeah, so put it in read mode. Yeah, put it in read mode. Go back down
Okay.
Instead of choosing slide show, try the read mode next to it, the book. Yeah.
Okay. Is that better?
Is it just me or is it off center?
Is it off center?
It looks fine to me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Then it's just me. I'm sorry. Never mind. All right.
Okay. Go ahead. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, once again, thank you all very much for the opportunity. I am very delighted to be here to at least speak with you all of my, I guess, perception and why I decided to become a teacher. Okay, so basically, I've been here for a year now, and I have been at Aspire for a year, and I worked in other areas before I got here. So basically, I got my education. I got a master's from North Carolina Central University in North Carolina. And before that, I got a BS degree in biology from North Carolina State University. Okay, but with North Carolina State University, I mean, it's like some of the impediment that I see that a lot of the kids tell me about were some of the stuff that I was experiencing where I went to school with them my first year. I lost my dad and I had to go out and work. So it took me almost 10 years to get my first degree. But then after that, everything else went straight down like it should. And these two ladies right here, when I first came from Africa, I was at the age of 5. And my dad returned back to Africa to go work for the government. So it was just me and my 5 siblings and our mom. And she was working day and night. And most of the time, you know, I would go to school and I mean, all of us, we would come back. Okay. And my first day at the school, matter of fact, when I got there, is one of those things where you say you're trying, you know, the kids try to fit in with other people. So matter of fact, this Dr. Eddie Jones right here is on the left side of the screen, grabbed me by my arm. And then she's like, Merton, you're not like these guys. Why are you doing this? You shouldn't be running around. And then the next day I realized she was going to be my Spanish teacher. So when I went in the classroom with her, she and Mrs. Wiggins, both of them, one speaks teaching French and the other one's teaching Spanish, basically just took me into their arm like that, their kid. They would come and pick me up. The days that my mother couldn't do it, they would put me into a lot of sports and other programs and things like that. And really, I never understood what kind of encouraged them to do that. Okay. And the only thing I could think of is that, you know, I went and I followed their instruction. I did whatever they wanted me to do. I never gave them any lips. So they just took me like the kid and they treated me like the kid. Okay, and matter of fact, these two teachers from middle school followed me all the way up to college. I was going to college and they were still sending me $4,000 every month. Okay, and like I said, I don't know what I did to deserve it, but every time I talk to them, I said, what can I do to, you know, pay you guys back? The only thing they say is help another student just like you. Okay. They said, that's all we want. So I've been working as a scientist all this time for GSK and other companies. And they're kind of old now. Mrs. Eddie Jones is like 94. And then Ms. Wiggins is 89. Okay. So I figure, you know what, maybe it's time to turn back and do what they asked me to do, which is help other people. So I started my teaching career. First, I was doing a college at North Carolina Central, but then I left and went overseas. I joined this East China company, and they would send me to Africa. I went to Brazil, and I went to Peru and Argentina, and I went to some other Asian country, Thailand, and I went to Ghana and some others. Okay, so when I came back, I said, well, you know, one of the saddest things for me is that I always wanted to return to my home and try to help our people. But then since we have civil war, we can't do it. So when I came back to the U.S. from China, I just decided to continue what I was doing. And I worked at McCain for a while. I worked at Apple. And then I worked at Middletown High School. And then finally, you know, Aspire picked me, which I was very grateful about because I had a talk when I had the interview, I didn't even think I was going to be, you guys were going to pick me at all. Okay. So, and so far I've enjoyed it. Margie is great. Dr. Pigeonson is very, I mean, wonderful lady. You know, they all try their best to try to help you the best way you can, and also try to work with you to make sure that the student that you're working with, you know, there are no conflict at all. So far, all is well. And like I say, in the past, I work at all these organizations. Okay, I have Johnson & Johnson pay for my master's program. After working, doing my undergraduate, they pay for my master's program and so forth. I work at Ryko Chemical. When they were first starting all the fiber active material to make the cars and stuff, this is what I was doing at Ryko Chemical. And then I also work at LabCorp, where I did a lot of forensic testing and some other things. And then finally, I went to Beijing University, Anhui University. I was teaching chemistry and physics there in English. And then later on, I joined the United States Marine Corps. I was in the Marine Corps for 10 years, so forth. And momentarily, I'm teaching physics and chemistry at Expira. Very good experience so far. I never really thought that teaching was going to be so fun. And I'm realizing I got all these kids with various backgrounds and so forth. And I seem to at least speak their language to them. Okay. I'm a big old visual nerd, but I have learned to cut down my vocabulary and try to understand them. And they come and tell me a lot of things. And as I told them, you know, they don't have to worry about me telling anyone. So they come and tell me a lot of serious private issues that they wouldn't even tell their own mama and things like that, which I think is a good thing. But most of the time after everything, I always suggest that they go and talk to their mom and dad, because that's the person paying the bill at home. I'm just a friend on the outside. I can help you. I can advise you. But when everything comes to the nitty gritty, you need mama and daddy. So I always direct them back to their mother. And a lot of them are happy about it. And they hear me saying the same thing that their mom and dad usually tell them. So a lot of times they're shocked sometimes when I say certain things to them. They look at me, their eyes get big. And these are my children. I have a total of 5 children. My oldest daughter is 35 years old. She's a practitioner nurse in Allentown, Pennsylvania. My second oldest daughter's name is Nefe. The first one is Secret. The second one is Nefe. She is in Atlanta, Georgia. She is in accounting for the state of Georgia. And my third daughter just graduated from Texas A&M. Okay, she's a psychologist and she just got her first job. And my last daughter is still going to school. She is at Stanford University. And my son is the same age as the kids that I'm working with now at Aspire. He's 16 years old. And here is my own belief about when I see people, because for me, when I came from Africa, one of the biggest issues that I had to get into was this thing of trying to choose between my white friend and my black friend. One group telling me to go with the other and the other group telling me this. But what I learned from being around everybody have something good to offer. It's all depending on how you want to accept it. So for me, I never chose any side. So when I got to college, I developed this model where I tell myself, I look at people for integrity, personality, excitement, and intelligence. So when I'm speaking to people, I don't see skin color. Because when I look at the history of human genealogy, we're all interrelated somehow. So what happened in the past, it is our job to change it, to make sure that it doesn't matriculate into the next generation. So when I speak to my kids, these are the things that I tell them. And then finally, I do a lot of community service. I love music. I listen to music from all over the world. Calypso, rock and roll, country, name it. I listen to it all. Okay. And during my free time, I usually go and go in a poor neighborhood and do certain things. Like if you look at this picture right here with this little girl, this is in Eastern China, one of the poor communities. I took my whole entire paycheck and bought teddy bears and took it for the kids to see, you know, so they can, I gave it to them and they were pretty happy. And the interesting thing about it, in China, a lot of people have misperception about people that look like me. So when I got there, it kind of shocked them because I don't fit the description that they always see on TV and things like that. So that was good. So the same thing here, I do tutoring. So in Wilmington, I go there every weekend with the Delaware Trade Commission group, and I try to help a lot of kids in Eastern Wilmington with math and science and other stuff. And my favorite food is whatever is available for me to eat. So I don't discriminate against cultural food. I just eat whatever it is. And then finally, we're all in this together to make a difference. Any little thing you do, you'd be surprised how much difference you could make in somebody's life. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Merton. So you weren't going to share the poem with us? The poem. Your all-in poem.
Yes, yes.
Did I share that with the board? Guillermina, did I share that with you?
I'm not sure if you did, yes.
Yes, no, you want to share, yes. You're asking me if you shared or want to share.
Well, I'll send it through email, but I wanted to, when I shared with the board about our keynote speaker, John Paul Gonzalez, and the whole theme of being all in, after that keynote presentation, Merton reached out to me and said that he was reminded by a poem that he had written. When did you write that poem, Merton?
I did that like 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And the theme of the poem was being all in. It's a beautiful poem. And we've actually have borrowed some of the phrases in his poem. And our Mario from the Culture and Climate team, who is very talented in writing songs for the school, has taken some of those lyrics and some of those phrases and put them into a song that he's practicing with the students. So, but I will share the poem with all of you. And please. I'm sorry, I see some hands up. Did you have your hand up, Guillermina?
No. I was just agreeing with you. Please share. It sounds like fascinating. Looking forward to reading it.
Yeah. Any other questions?
No, just thanking for your time. Impressive. And in between the music, beautiful girls, and all you do, we do appreciate your help and support by all means.
Thank you very much. I want to thank Merton, you know, just bringing a different perspective, Merton, and the cultural exchange that you're able to do with the students and share with them like a different perspective coming from another country. And, you know, the first year of teaching in any school is always difficult because the students are still trying to figure you out. Sure. But then I saw that over summer, you were one of the teachers that came and did summer school. And I could see that connection was being made and then you continued to build on that. But I think it's amazing that you're able to share your unique experience and personality and be that strong male role model for many of our students. So I appreciate it. Thank you. We enjoy having you on the team. And he's a flashy driver dresser. I always look forward to seeing what Merton is wearing, especially when we have our holiday party. I can't wait to see what outfit you come up with for the holiday party. Thank you, Merton.
Sure.
Thank you very much. All right. Well, Greg, can we see the agenda? What's next to continue with the process?
Merton, you're welcome to stay and listen for the rest of the meeting, or you're welcome to leave at this time, whichever you'd like to do.
Can you see?
I would just stay and learn some more.
Oh, there you go. Well, thank you. And we're going to continue. This is a very important lesson to learn, Merton, because now it's the time of Greg and sharing the financial reports and all of that. So it's perfect timing for you to be enlightened like we all are.
Yeah, Greg, go ahead. It's actually Kelly. So let me let Kelly share.
Okay, sure thing. Kelly, welcome. Thank you.
Hi, thank you. Let me Okay. Can you see the monthly report, financial report?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. So we are reporting on the month of August, ending August 31st, which puts us 17% through the year. We have our board members. Thank you all for being here, and thank you for all that you do to help the school. So starting with the financial budget, so we have our revenues we're going to start with. So the state revenue, the full year budget was $15.4 million. The actual that we've received so far is $12.2 million, which puts us at 79%, which is very favorable. The subtotal for local revenue, the budget, preliminary budget was $9.5 million. So far, we've received $206,000, which puts us at 2%. The subtotal for federal budget was $988,000. And actually, we haven't received that as of yet. And then the FSF revenue budget for the year is $25.9 million. So far to date, we've received 12.4, which puts us at 48%, which is favorable. Our expenditures, which we will get in here in a moment, the full year budget was $26.9 million. The actual as of the end of August was 5.7, which is 21%. You'll see that part of that is due to the annual bond debt service that was paid in July. So the monthly spend for August was $1.8 million. When we look at our graph, we really don't have a lot to show the full trends as of yet, but you could tell in the next month or so, our expenditures will be less than the revenue, so which is right where we want them. As of the end of August, we have not received any of the school district funding, but we have started to receive some in September, and that will continue through October, which you'll see months from now. So our cash position as of the end of August, we have the amount received to date is at $19.8 million. We've expended so far $5.7 million. We have about $70,000 encumbered, which leaves us a remaining balance of $14 million, which is 29%. Are there any questions so far on the financial summary? Okay, the grant so far, we are at $10,000 for the year. This is for the expansion campaign. We've received the $10,000 from Chemours. So going into the expenditures. So starting at the very top, we have our salaries. The budget for the year is 12.7. The actual to date at the end of August was 1.7, which is 14%. Other employment costs, the budget was $6.3 million. We have spent so far $925,000, which is 15%. Total travel, the budgeted was $1.6 million. We've spent $52,000, which is 3%. And as we go down, you can see any of the, I have to move all my faces to the other side. I apologize. you'll see any of the notes are highlighted in yellow on the right-hand column. So the total contracted services, the budget for the year is $2.6 million. We have had a little bit of encumbered, $855, and the actual spend is including the total spend and encumbered is $657,000, which is 24%. Total supplies and materials, the budget was $1.6 million. We had almost $70,000 encumbered, so total expended and encumbered is $617,000, which is 37%. The total capital outlay of equipment was budgeted $75,000. So far, we've spent $1,700, which is only 2%. The total capital outlay of property was budgeted 1.8. We spent almost the entire part was for the annual bond debt service that we paid in July. So for the year, the total budget of expenditures is $27 million. We have total expended and encumbered so far is $5.8 million, which is 22% of the year. Are there any questions about the expenditures? Okay, then I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing.
Yeah,
thank you.
Great job, Kelly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the board?
Nice job, Kelly.
Yes.
We need to approve the financials as presented. So do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve, Liz Diaz.
Thank you, Liz. Do we have a second?
Second, Terranova Thistle.
Thank you, Marisa. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you. Congratulations. Thank you, Marisa and Greg. Marisa, you're at the center of my computer. That's what I see you all the time. Anyways, thank Greg and for the presentation. So
I'm your favorite board member. I don't know.
You're literally, I don't know why, but you're right at the center of my screen right now. And so every time that I go and back and forth, I see you. So thanks for that. So let's continue and operations. So is that you, Greg?
Yes. So just quick update. The only portion of the high school that's left to complete is the life skills area. It's moving along nicely. I expect that by the end of November, if not before Thanksgiving, it will be totally complete. So it's going along very nicely. So no surprise there. I did want to let the board know that last Friday was actually a PD day, but we took the first half of the morning to do a reunification exercise with both teams from, you know, the combined team from each campus. And I hope I'm not stealing Margie's thunder because I didn't see her head of school report, but we basically did an assembly in the auditorium at 8 o'clock in the morning and kind of ran through some what was going to happen during the exercise. And we actually evacuated the building. We used buses. We had team members role playing as students, parents, and obviously teachers and other staff members, but everyone had a role, and we reunified at our offsite facility, which is a Baptist church right down Red Mill Road. It's less than a mile from our school, the East Campus. So we had people from the state, from DEMA. We had state police there to observe. And I just want to let everyone know that it's not a fun exercise, but I will tell you it's very valuable. And I was very happy with the way that the exercise went, because it was basically a 4-hour exercise. And even though we're just role-playing, it's one of those things that you don't like to practice and people are nervous, but it was very low-key. And I thought everyone did a great job and it was very useful. We hope we never, ever have to actually do it. But again, it's part of what we try to do as a staff and a team. We need to be prepared for those events that may or may not happen. You just can't ever assume that they won't. So we got great feedback, a lot of great lessons learned. And as a follow-up to kind of debrief, we've now since put a Google document out that everyone can provide feedback, and we're encouraging team members to give us anything they have, because obviously we just want to get better. So I won't run on with that, but I just wanted to highlight that because it's part of Operation Safety and Security, and it was a very successful event. And then I do want to add that we're only the third public school in Delaware that has actually done a reunification exercise. So that's my update.
Thank you, Greg. Interesting. Next on the agenda, we have the diversity team report. The development report, right? And for that, we have Liz or Marisa. I don't know who's presenting or updating. Go ahead.
I have something to share. Would it be okay if I shared my screen, Greg?
Yes, by all means, please.
Go ahead.
All right. I'm sorry, I'm having some issues. Here we go. Apologies.
No worries. It seems that technology today was not the best for me.
It's having some issues wanting to share certain things. So I apologize. Let me know if and when you can see my screen.
Yes, we can see that.
Okay, perfect. An update from the development committee, which is led by Lynn, and Marissa and myself are on that committee as well. So as we kind of mentioned a few times before, the primary focus of the development committee for a while had been the expansion campaign. Now that we have had the ribbon cutting ceremony, the expansion campaign for the high school kind of on its way out when it comes to how we're asking for funding and things like that. So now we're able to focus and look at some other opportunities. So some updates on back to school and kind of highlighting the different organizations that were supporting our back to school initiatives and donating supplies. So DuPont, LifePath, Dream Center, the Newark Area Welfare Committee, all donated various supplies and things for back to school. The Newark United Methodist Church was able to provide some gift cards. And the Life Community Church actually came, I believe they did this last year as well. They actually came on the first day of school and kind of greeted the students coming in at the high school, encouraged them on their first day, and it was really well received. So many thank yous to the various organizations that were able to provide some monetary support, some supplies, and also supporting our students on their first day at school. So one of the touch points with some more influential people in the community, I suppose. So Daniel Harris is a director at Walmart locally, not only just getting some connections there, but accessing the community grant portal that the Walmart has to look at grants between 1K and 5K that we can be eligible for. And another thing that came out of that discussion was some potential funding for the music department. If you know anything about instruments and instrumentation, they're very expensive even to rent. So that's been a little bit of a deterrent for some of the students in wanting to pursue certain instruments or the music programs is the inability to afford even renting instruments. So hopefully looking into ways that we can get funding to help subsidize access to instruments. I'm working with a potential partnership with the Delaware Symphony Orchestra. And something else that came out of that discussion that Marissa had even brought up, that Lynn said she might put something together to circulate more broadly, is even donating gently used instruments to the school for the music department. So we'll hopefully be hearing more about that. So if anyone has instrumentation, has instruments or anything that could be donated, hopefully we'll get some more information on being able to do that. So I don't think I need to tell the group how important music and music education is. Hopefully we can help more students be able to be involved and not have to worry about the financial burden. So some other funding updates, that initial requests for the American Rescue Plan Act, initial recommendation to allocate the $100,000 to support the proposed project for, I believe this is dedicated mostly to like the wellness, like the wellness center and things like that. Correct me if I am wrong. and hopefully have those funds by November. And again, the looking at other research, like researching different grant opportunities with the expansion campaign, we aren't eligible to reapply for some of the bigger grants because there is a waiting period in between applications. So exploring other grants that we could be eligible for. And Lynn's also getting ready for Giving Tuesday. If you're not familiar, that is, I believe, the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, a campaign to have for people to donate to various causes. And we'll see more about how to donate for USPETA upcoming. So some of the events to highlight, the ribbon cutting ceremony, if you are able to attend, it was wonderful that we had that in August. The back to school breakfast, all in that we've heard Margie talking about. And kind of a reminder there too, this was with the leftover funds that we had donated initially for, I believe, lunch or dinner earlier on the end of last school year. So the money that the board members donated was used then towards this breakfast as well. The team building event that Greg had mentioned earlier after the reunification, drill, Founders Day celebration on September 13th. And then we have Hispanic Heritage Spirit Week, 25th to the 29th. Parent camp also this coming Thursday to discuss topics with various parents of students of USPETA. And those were my main updates. I apologize, I had to speed through those a little bit. Any questions, anything to add, especially to from Marissa?
Nothing to add.
Well, you guys have been really busy. I was just curious when it comes to the symphony orchestra, you mentioned kind of a potential partnership. I was just curious about what kind of potential partnership, how is that going to shape or take shape?
I'm not 100% sure. I know that just in talks to, I think someone on their end was interested in understanding more about the school. Okay. I think that was the main focus there, and hopefully more possibilities there to have that partnership and opportunities for the students.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure. Just interesting. Thank you. And next on the agenda is talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Is there somebody that can bring us up to speed?
Yes, I'll be giving an update.
Thank you, Rob.
This month. Yeah, no problem. So for the DEIB September update, first and foremost, we had our first annual Founders Day that was held on September the 13th, representing our founder, Dr. Antonia Pantoja.
There you go, Pantoja.
Okay. Pantoja. Okay. Okay. I did a little better than I thought I would do.
That's good. Right?
That's her birthday. And so they're just kind of getting to the roots and understanding where everything started. And so that was our first annual Founders Day. We also had the One School, One Book assembly that was held on the East Campus. And here we have where every aspirante and team member receives a copy of a book. This book that has been chosen is Stunt Boy in the Meantime by Jason Reynolds and Raul III. And so that's something everyone is doing. And there's some pictures of the book right there. We have the Hispanic Heritage Month on the East Campus. We'll be holding the Heritage Spirit Week, which is September 25th through September the 29th. And hopefully, Greg, we can share this with everyone so they can look at all the details about what's being shared per day. On the West Campus, we have Hispanic Heritage Projects by Grade Band. And then we have a Hispanic Artist Spotlight, as well as ABBA Hispanic Heritage Gathering. Did I pronounce ABBA right instead of ABBA? I think it's ABBA. Is that, correct?
It's our virtual program. Yeah, it stands for USPETA Virtual Academic Program.
Okay. Yep. All right, ABBA. And then also what I thought was very interesting was the Global Read Aloud, where we read a book, Rover's Story, third grade to fifth, but we connect them with people around the world or classrooms around the world. And so they plan in the Zoom with students in Ohio and Canada to discuss this book. And I thought this was really exciting. That's the update for the DEIB group.
Excellent. That last initiative got my attention. How did you guys come up with that one? That's globalization one-on-one. Beautiful. Tell me about that one, Rob.
Oh, I can't speak on that. Margie, can you speak on that for us?
Yeah, I mean, the idea just came from the teachers talking and being able to connect to some teachers that they knew, and using these different social media networks that gets teachers connected to one another. So it was very nice how it came together. What I'd like to be able to do is one thing we've talked about is really connecting with aspirantes at other Aspira schools too, you know, like being able to connect with one another that way. But it was really neat that they were able to do it in different countries. We have keep in mind that we have a DIB team. So D, along with certain teachers that have asked to be part of this committee, are really planning all of this and really get the credit for making it happen. I mean, they meet after school, they talk about things and share ideas and really execute the ideas.
Excellent. And thanks, Rob, for bringing up us to speed on that front. Appreciate it. And we have PTO. I was told that Anna was going to join us. I don't know if she is in attendance. It doesn't seem to be the case. Okay. We keep looking for a replacement on that front, right, Margie? Okay.
Yes, I'm working on it.
I know you are. Thank you. And that brings us to your report then. You're on mute.
Sorry about that. That's good. I was coughing anyway, so that's good that I was on mute. Let me pull up my screen. I was actually adding something to my update because we just had something post on social media. So I wanted to be sure we caught it. All right. So the spotlight, as you heard from Merton, I'm going to send you the poem so you guys see that it really is a beautiful poem that he put together. Enrollment. So this is where we are right now, 97% of our goal. You can see the breakdown here. Right now we're standing at about 51 students in the AVA program and 27 students are in the scholars program. And if you remember when we opened the high school, we started the scholars program, which is eighth graders that are accelerated learners. What's different though this year is that instead of them being housed in the high school and going to school at the high school, they're actually now at the East Campus. So we actually found that there was a greater interest among eighth graders to apply for the scholars. We actually had enough applications that we could have filled a second class. We had to limit it to just one class. And 27 was more than what we wanted in a class, but we made some exceptions there. But so we're at 97% at this point. As you know, it's always our goal to be at 100% or 100% plus. The high school, now that the construction is done, it's important that, you know, as you can see, our incoming ninth grade class was 108 students. We're looking for our going forward for our incoming class to be 125. So we're hoping that next year we'll start seeing that, see us hit that 125 in the ninth grade class and then continue to build from there. But as you can see, because we started, you know, that first graduating class is 65 students and then 11th graders only 86. So we have capacity at the high school. It's just, right now, and until the construction was done, we weren't able to exceed our goal at the high school. So it's going to put us at 97, but we're at full capacity at the East Campus. And, you know, we are doing really, really well with AVA. We hope that over the next few years, we're able to double that enrollment and get to 100. Our wait list continues to grow. So, you know, there's always movement on the wait list. So just keep in mind that we're looking at the total, which is 1,300 applications placed on the wait list. But as you can see, there's also withdrawals. That is the middle column there. Because those students could be called by another school and then they move off of the wait list, et cetera. But ultimately, when we're reporting to our stakeholders, to our funders, what they're most interested in is that total number, that 1,300. Culture and climate. We mentioned to you before, we did some organizational changes. So Kathleen is again our director of culture and climate. She moved from the assistant head of school. I need to update that, the assistant head of school role into the director of culture and climate. So what they've done this year is really spend a lot of time with the students to help with the smooth transition. The entire culture and climate team went through restorative practices training in August. So that was all of our counselors, our interventionists, they are really going to help continue with the second year implementation of those practices. And they've already started to use that with students by having restorative circles. And then restorative circles are what you use to really address behavior, right? So you're trying to restore relationships, you're trying to restore trust. We also use the community circles, which are used in the classroom to really establish like community in the classroom. What are going to be our rules and how are we going to treat each other, et cetera. So we've been seeing more of that throughout the school, which is great. There's some pictures there. And then when you could see the discipline, so we'll look at East Campus first. Let me make this a little smaller so you can see the comparison. So if you look at September of last year and then September of this year, keep in mind that, you know, August is, you're only talking about really 4 days in August. So September really gives us a better picture of where the trends are. So as you can see, the incidents per day have gone down. Detentions have gone up, but suspensions have gone down. So which is a good thing because that means that we're not having the severe incidents that are resulting into a suspension automatically. And our code of conduct is very specific about what types of violations, what types of behavior results and what types of consequences. So the good thing is that we're not having the severe incidents that are resulting automatically in suspension this early in the year, as we did last year. So this time last year, we had 13, well, if you count in school and out of school, we had 14 suspensions. This point, we only have 7. You can even see the FYIs. Keep in mind, the FYIs are the documentation that teachers do in the system to basically say that they have addressed behavior with this particular child. So, you know, 60 compared to 107. And then even the bus referrals are almost half of what they were last year. So, which is good because I think in sort of taking the temperature of the team, I think most people were feeling that this year started on a more positive note than last year. So we're sort of seeing that also at the West Campus.
I can just real quick.
Yep.
Sorry to interrupt.
That's
how
right.
Does that how do those numbers compare to like pre-COVID numbers?
I can pull that up for you.
I'm just kind of generally curious, like how it has changed since, like, I know before, like last year, we were kind of discussing how COVID had a pretty big impact on this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm curious just to see how it compares to pre-COVID.
What I'll do is send a follow-up email. So we have the tables of every year. I just took the snapshot from last year. But yeah, I'll send the snapshot of like 2019 and then compare to now. Will that be helpful?
Yeah, that would be cool. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. And then at the West Campus, obviously we're dealing with different situations. They're older kids. So you can see here, once again, if you're looking at September compared to September, more incidents per day. And we have had several detentions now. And I've been talking to the West Campus team, you know, they shared with me some of these notes here that the majority of the detentions are because students being late to class two or more times in the week. So it's sort of setting those norms in the school. And it's a combination of students that it's their first year with us and they're still getting acclimated, but it's also returning students that are sort of testing the water. So just making sure that we reset and make sure that students understand the expectations. We have had four students to serve out of school suspensions for fighting. And when they returned, they had to return with a family member, and there was a restorative circle to repair the harm and to make amends. So that is the intention of the restorative circle, so that we're hoping that that behavior doesn't continue. And then there were other two suspensions due to vaping in the bathroom. You know, we've seen across the board in high schools, vaping has become a bigger issue. Last year we had a student assembly as well as a family assembly on the subject, because we feel that, you know, the media has definitely glorified vaping as if it's a safer option to smoking, but yet it still has the same side effects. And students seem to be getting access to vaping, items more readily than they do cigarettes. So, you know, our bathrooms are now equipped with vaping detectors, which is quite different from a smoking detector, because it doesn't set off a smoke alarm. It actually informs us that there's vaping happening. So we've been able to at least address it. And we hope to see that this trend sort of goes down from there. Any questions about that? And then we'll get into the East Campus update. I'll just go over sort of high level. I think I mentioned to you last year, we were piloting a new teacher evaluation system. It's called DTGSS. So we piloted last year. So this year is the official first year of implementation. We've continued with the restorative justice practices. As I mentioned last year, this year we had the entire culture and climate team. Actually, I should change it. It's not just the culture and climate team that went through the training. It was also the leader of each grade level. So kindergarten has a team leader. They went through the training. First grade went through the training. So every grade had at least one team member that went through the training so that we can continue to expand on the use of those strategies. The other thing we're doing this year is piloting some what's considered high quality curriculum. So the Department of Education has gone through this process and it's not just in our state, but nationwide, of looking at curriculum and sort of doing a scoring matrix and determining which ones are considered high quality. And so because of that, the results of that analysis, several schools have had to consider their curriculums, including us. So the curriculum that we've used since our second year of operation has been a reading and writing workshop from Lucy Calkins from Columbia University, which right now is not on the high quality curriculum list. So what they've allowed all schools to do is, if your curriculum is not on that high quality list, this year, it was the year that they're allowing us to pilot other curriculum that's on the list and then make a decision. So what we decided to do is actually do two pilots. So there's two curriculums that we're interested in. Keep in mind that as a dual language school, the other thing that's difficult is finding not only a high quality curriculum that works in English, but it also needs to be available in Spanish. So we are piloting the HMH into reading curriculum. And then it has a Spanish component, which is Arriba la Lectura, which we implemented on the Spanish side last year. But we're also piloting CKLA, which is the Common Core Knowledge one, which some districts in our state have already implemented. What's ironic about that one is that If you're not familiar with Common Core, the only school in our state that is a Common Core school is Newark Charter School. And back when I was in the planning phases of our school, and I was being mentored by Greg Meese of Newark Charter, and I learned about Common Core, we actually had decided to make that our curriculum at Aspida. We had gone through the training, the director of instruction for Newark Charter did the training of our first group of teachers, and we invested in the Common Core materials. So it was our intention initially to start with Common Core. Unfortunately, back then, which was 2011, it was a big, a heavy lift for the materials to be translated into Spanish. And that lift was really a burden on our Spanish immersion teachers. So we decided to go with reading and writing workshop, which was a little bit easier for us to, you know, navigate in Spanish. So I think it's sort of ironic if we end up choosing Common Core, it's sort of like going full circle. So just wanted to share that with you. And the strengths, you know, talking to Jose and getting his perspective on what he sees as positive things this year, definitely the communications have been really positive. We've been able to really refine our weekly communication, but also find other vehicles to make sure that we're updating our website, that we're sending out social media. If you're not following us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook, please do. It's really important that we continue to increase, the friends on there or whatever. But, you know, like we want to be able to use that as a vehicle. And that's like a really nice snapshot of, you know, pictures and of things that are happening and great accomplishments from the students, et cetera. So that's been working out really well. Our back to school events in August went really well. If you remember last year, we had some challenges because of the parking issues that we have. We had the distribution of the Chromebooks. You know, there were some glitches in the process and we definitely felt it. But the team really pulled together over the summer, reflected on what needed to be improved, and they really put some improvements into place. So this year, you could tell a big difference in our back-to-school events. One of the things that really helped is that as opposed to just having the back-to-school event in the evening, we actually opened up the time frame so that people could come, let's say from 2 to 6, you know. So by opening up that time frame, families were able to find it more convenient to find a time to come in and visit with the teachers. And it didn't feel as congested and the teachers didn't feel as rushed. Procedures have been going really well. The documentation, you know, just getting the documentation back from families and that's been going well. One thing he also mentioned as a strength was just our retention. Now, usually 79% teacher retention is not a good number. Greg and I every year have to report that statistic along with others to S&P and to our investors and to our funders. So 79% is one of the lowest that we've had. However, in the context of where we are in the education field with the teacher shortage and how we compare to our neighboring schools, it's actually a pretty good place to be. But there's definitely, I think all schools are feeling the crunch of the teacher shortage and having to find creative ways to address it. One of the things that we're doing is we've built what we call Grow Your Own program, where we are providing teachers an opportunity to get some tuition reimbursement to encourage them to get their degrees. And that's for, let's say we have a paraprofessional, we have somebody who works in the nutrition or facilities team that wants to get an associate's or get a bachelor's as well as a master's. So we broadened it so that we can really open up that pipeline. We know that the team that we have now, they've already shown and demonstrated a commitment to Aspida. So we want to make an investment in them. So that was just published to the team last week and it was really well received. So we've already received applications and now the the leadership team is going to be meeting next week to make a decision on this first round. So things that we're doing to really help ourselves with this issue of the teacher shortage. And the areas for growth is, you know, looking at instructional performance. As I shared with you last month, we definitely have room to grow when it comes to student outcomes on the standardized assessments. We actually had a visit from the Department of Education yesterday. It was actually they're going around and visiting all the schools. It was a very pleasant visit. They visited both campuses. We talked a lot about the curriculums that we're piloting and how that's going. But it was good to sort of have that face-to-face conversation to explain to them some of the challenges that we're having and also letting them know the nuances that we experience as an immersion school that other schools don't have to deal with. So it was a good visit. But also speaking at that high quality curriculum, once we choose the curriculum, we obviously have to then go through the training to make sure teachers are prepared to execute it. Areas of concern continues to be substitutes, just finding them. We were able to secure some substitutes that are sort of in-house substitutes. That's been helpful, and that was thanks to a bill that was passed last session. And building capacity, we're definitely out of space at the East Campus. And then obviously the nationwide issue of teacher retention and teacher shortages. It was already mentioned the One School, One Book. We're excited about that. The musical this year is going to be Willy Wonka Jr. So be looking out for that. Auditions are starting in October and the plays, the performances will be in February. So I will be sure to share that with you. Sports have started. So they're off to a great start. Each year we see that the students are definitely getting stronger and they're very excited about that opportunity. At the high school, remember that this was the year that after we had the ribbon cutting, students got to start the school year and actually walk into a school building that for the most part was completely renovated, right? We only have that one corner, as Greg mentioned, that's still under construction, but that's not really disturbing anything with the flow of the rest of the building. So the kids were excited to walk into their new school and be getting the whole full experience of having a beautiful gymnasium, a beautiful weight room, locker rooms, their classrooms. The art room is really beautiful. The band room. So they have really been enjoying it. One of the things that we did to kick off the year is since this is going to be the first year that we have a graduating students, the senior class got to start a new tradition. It's called the Senior Sunrise, where they gathered on the soccer field for breakfast and watched the sunrise, and they created memory boxes. So that was really cool to see them participate in that. And then after that, they got their senior t-shirts and they got their senior photo. So 65 students will be graduating in May. And by the way, so I think we are confirmed. So we wanted to be sure that for the first graduating class, which will go down in the SPEDA history books, that we found a really fitting commencement speaker. We actually reached out to Dr. Gus Rivera. For those of you that don't know him, he's our visionary leader that really brought SPEDA to Delaware and really conceived this whole idea of us opening up a school. He now lives in Minnesota. But I was able to contact him and he was honored that we thought of him, and he's making plans to come back to be here for the graduation, and he will be our commencement speaker. We have some new courses. So now that we're fully at, from 9th to 12th grade, there's some additional courses that we were able to add on and give students different opportunities in the different in the core subjects. Some exciting ones are forensics in the sciences. We have African American history. We have personal finance. In Spanish, we have AP Spanish and culture, as well as the AP literature, Spanish for native speakers, which, by the way, when you think about the native speakers, so this year we have definitely seen an increase in the number of students that are coming to us. They're just arrived in the country and they don't speak English. What's interesting is that they're getting referred to us. So other schools are actually referring them to SPEDA And, you know, which is fine. We welcome them with open arms, but we definitely are seeing that our percentage of English learners is increasing, but especially our newcomers, those that are in the country for the first time. But what's really cool is that we were able to put them in classes together. So that Spanish for native speakers is a lot of those newcomers. And then they also have a class with the English learner teacher. And then some pictures here of some different things. So we have a dual enrollment psychology class. So even, again, dual enrollment, meaning that they're earning credit, college credit. But some pictures there of them doing yoga and meditation. This is some pictures of the kids in forensic class. Here's some kids in biology. And we have the open house on the 19th. Students had a hangout on September 15th. That was, they got to watch the movies outside under the stars on the soccer field and have popcorn. And then they're going to Millbourne Orchards in October for a hayride and bonfire. Oh, this is the part that I wanted to add in here. So it was just posted on social media that Naomi Innocent and Nicholas, he goes by Nico, Nico Tamar received the College Board National Recognition. So Naomi was awarded the National African American Award and Nicholas was awarded the Hispanic Recognition Award for how they did on their AP exams. So that's posted. So very excited about that. And athletics. This is our first year with varsity sports. Very exciting, guys. If you haven't gone to a game, it is so exciting. I got to go to a girls volleyball game so far. And they're doing really well. You know, it's hard for a new school like ours when we're just growing into a full school and we have our first year of varsity. It can be a little touchy because we may not have may not be at the skill set of the other school. So it sometimes can be a really bad year as far as wins. But the kids are actually doing really well. They're hanging in there. We got 66 kids at the high school that are participating in fall sports. The girl volleyball girls, the girl volleyball is doing really great. And we've got soccer and we also have cross country. So good stuff happening there. And then miscellaneous, I just wanted to give you, a couple of things. The Latino Student Summit, Pedro was there, Liz was there, Guillamina was there, but this was an exciting event that was hosted at Hotson on September 16th. But it was actually, Aspirantes were represented on the planning committee. They were actually presenters and attendees there. And it was exciting that it came about because a student came up with the idea to have this. Last year, students actually created the first Black student summit. And so the Latino students heard about that and decided that they wanted to also do something similar. But it was a great event. It just happened to fall at the beginning of Hispanic Heritage Month. So it was very fitting, well attended. It was very exciting. I mentioned already the visit yesterday from the Department of Education, very positive meeting. Wanted to also mention that our funder, the Charter School Growth Fund, every year they host a conference for the CEOs and their portfolio. And, you know, they pick up the tab. So it's been very generous of them to offer. So I'll be in Arizona, October 9th through the 11th. I also wanted to mention, just so I didn't want you to see this in the Hispanic magazine and then wonder why I didn't share it with you, but if you guys know Rolando from the Delaware Hispanic magazine, he came by the other day to inform me that I was nominated in the category of Education Visionary Award. So they have an award ceremony every year. This year, it's on November 3rd at the Grand Opera House from 4:30 to 9:30. What's exciting about it is I had not heard of this before, but you know how in the News Journal, or is it the News Journal or Delaware Today, where they do the rating system so you can see like what restaurant is rated number one and what pizza is rated number one and all of that. So the Hispanic magazine does the same thing for Hispanic businesses. So you can go like at this award show, there'll be a lot of businesses owned by Hispanics that are being honored as being selected as the best in their category. So the proceeds from the ticket sales goes to actually help support Hispanic businesses. So I'm sharing it with you because I want to spread the word. If you're interested, $50 per person, and it goes to a good cause. And then the other thing is yesterday in the Hispanic Commission meeting, I was appointed to represent the commission on the Educational Equity Council, which is apparently a stakeholder council that's part of the ombudsman program. So it's going to be involved with reviewing and analyzing and offering recommendations to improve student equity and outcomes in Delaware's public education system. So I was honored to be asked to serve on this and represent the Hispanic Commission. As you guys know, I mean, this is our Aspida mission, not just for our aspirantes, but really to have a positive impact on Delaware's public school system. So I'm hoping that this will give me a forum to continue to try to make good changes. And that is it. Any questions?
No. Good job. Not for me, Margie. Good job. It's been that you've not been doing much these days.
No. Casi na.
Good job. Thank you. I don't know if the board has questions.
Hey, Margie, this is Anas. I have a question not related really to the report, but the email you sent about the training, I know I'm registered to the one in Dover tomorrow night. Can you speak to it?
Yes. So yeah, this was an interesting find. So, you know, something that's been in the regulation for a long time, but in the regulation, it said that the Department of Education would offer the training. And because they haven't offered the training, they then could not hold schools accountable for not getting the training. I believe it was brought to their attention by the U.S. Department of Education. So therefore, the Delaware Department of Education is trying to get back on track. They've received multiple feedback requests that they've got to make the training readily available. So they are not in agreement to do like a recorded version, but they are looking at creating a virtual version. Because in the regulation, it indicates that the training is to be, is it 2 hours that you're scheduled to go for, Anas? Or is it three?
Yes, I believe so. It's 5 to 7, I believe.
Okay. So it's actually in the regulation that's supposed to be a 2-hour training. And so it hasn't been taking that long. But they are, because they leave time for questions and answers. I heard from those that went to the one on the 20th, one of you went to the one on the 20th. Was that you, Rob?
No, I believe Rob selected the one in Dover, but I'm not.
Actually Kiara was the one that went to the one on the 20th. Anyway, it ended early. So Kendall has gotten the feedback. She's pushing on them to either provide a virtual option or I think that the option that they probably will be more agreeable to is approving individuals within the charter world to be facilitators of the training. Because really any of our directors of special education could do the training. They just need DOE to sort of give them that permission and deem them as certified facilitators. So really there's no school that was able to have all of their board members go through the training. The goal was, let's get as many as we can to go through, and then we'll figure out how we can provide some other options. So thank you, Anas, Rob. I think Carlos was going to as well. And then Kiara, I believe, went on the 20th. But we wanted to at least get a quarter, if not a half of our board members through. And then hopefully we'll be able to provide some other options.
Right. No, I appreciate that you keep insisting for them to provide that virtually, at least facilitating the process, because for busy people, just react in the nick of time is not always possible.
Yeah, it's the same thing we went through with the other board governance training. And finally, they have certified, like Kendall and the charter network to facilitate that so that we don't have to go through Dana and pay for it. We can now do it through the network. So they're trying to do the same thing with this training. So thank you.
Appreciate that. Just to facilitate the process. We all want to comply, but it's got to be on an easier way.
Sure.
Excellent. So are there any pending issues? Something we're missing? Hearing none, then the motion to adjourn the meeting is the thing to do. And for that, do we have a motion? Oh, look at that. Maybe we need to give babies a spot.
There you go.
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
Look at that.
Say bye-bye.
What about Alberto? Bye. Alberto was also showing off at the beginning.
Yeah, she's been asleep for a while now. So.
Okay, he's just gone. Keep it that way.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Marissa, did he have a motion?
Yes, he says motion to adjourn and go bye-bye.
Oh, there you go. That's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Liz. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, guys. I'll be in contact with some of you. And thank you, Margie, Greg, and everybody. Great meeting. Thank you so much. And for those attending as well.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.